Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the brand new October-November issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear reviews of four big fall listens recommended by our editors. Then we have a behind the mic with Dirk Maggs talking about producing Sandman by Neil Gaiman. Then we'll have reviews in science fiction, fantasy, including a review of Harrow the Ninth by Tamsin Muir. It's an Earphones winner read by Moira Quick. Let's get right to it. Our first review today is an Earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards Earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today is The Lying Life of Adults. It's written by Elena Ferranti and Anne Goldstein translated. It's an Earphones winner read by Marissa Tomei. Actress Marissa Tomei's dramatic reading takes the listener inside the mind of a teenage girl struggling to understand who she is. Giovanna has had a sheltered upbringing by her well-educated parents in an upper-class section of Naples, Italy. But when she overhears her father say she is becoming ugly like her Aunt Vittoria, she insists on meeting the conniving, vulgar aunt her father despises. Tomei, in her first solo audiobook narration, brings depth to Giovanna as she privately expresses her innermost thoughts, but speaks to her family with a sullen teenage attitude. Tomei's portrayal of Vittoria with her crudeness and explosive moods is raspy and guttural. One can even hear a trace of Neapolitan dialect. The listener will feel for Giovanna in this heartrending novel. Joanne Simoneau wrote that review of The Lying Life of Adults by Elena Ferranti. Translation by Anne Goldstein. It's an Earphones winner read by Marissa Tomei. It's available from Random House Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review today is Conditional Citizens. It's written and read by Laila Lalami. Author Laila Lalami narrates this look at what it means to be Muslim in a contemporary America. She does so in a sober, measured voice, beginning her account with her naturalization ceremony, which took place the year of the contentious election of George W. Bush to the presidency. Lalami's memoir is a timely examination of the rise of Islamophobia in the U.S. Hers is an unflinching focus on the awkward moments, racial slurs, and other indignities she and other Muslim Americans have suffered since 9/11. Listeners will be drawn in by the consistency of her delivery. The challenges Lalami presents are softened by her gentle yet insistent presentation. Her almost hypnotic delivery leaves a lasting impact even after she has finished. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of Conditional Citizens. It's written and read by Laila Lalami, and it's available from Random House Audio for 5.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next in our four big fall listens, we have One by One. It's written by Ruth Ware, and it's an Earphones winner read by Imogen Church. Imogen Church's extraordinary narration of Ruth Ware's newest suspense novel will keep listeners glued to their earbuds, unable to do anything else but listen, wide-eyed and rapt. In an homage to Agatha Christie, and then there were none, Ware has taken the premise of people trapped in an isolated house with an unidentified killer, cleverly adapted the who, where, and what to the 21st century, and pumped up the dread with parallel first-person narratives. 10 employees of a tech startup meet for a retreat in an alpine chalet with 2 staff. Tensions abound when an avalanche isolates the group. Church delivers a myriad of individual voices, offers telling characterizations, and transports listeners into every scene with perfect pacing of the humor, conflicts, and terror. It's witty, cunning, and addictive. That review by Aurelia C. Scott is of One by One by Ruth Ware. It's an Earphones winner read by Imogen Church, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 13 hours of unabridged listening. Finally today, in our big fall listens, we have Before the Ever After. It's written by Jacqueline Woodson, and it's an Earphones winner read by Guy Lockhart. Guy Lockhart delivers an outstanding performance of Woodson's brief, eloquent story of 12-year-old Z.J. Johnson, Jr., whose father, a former pro football player, is suffering from chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE. The story is set in the early 2000s, when little was known about the dangers of repeated head injuries. Lockhart makes effective use of pitch and pacing as he gives voice to the exhilarating before time with his happy series of football games and fun with an extended community of friends. Compellingly shifting tone and tempo is ZJ's dad succumbs to the agonizing effects of this terrible condition. Lockhart brings listeners into the ever after of pain and dementia that overwhelms ZJ and his family. Woodson's spare, lyrical text is beautifully enhanced by Lockhart's emotionally connected narration. Sharon Grover wrote that review of Before the Ever After by Jacqueline Woodson. It's read by Guy Lockhart, it's an Earphones winner, and it's available from Listening Library for 2.25 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. Now we will have our Behind the Mic with Dirk Maggs. If you know and love audio theater, then you know the work of Dirk Maggs. As a producer, director, and writer, his productions immerse listeners in the worlds he creates. In a career spanning 30 years, he has won many national and international awards for his groundbreaking work. Douglas Adams chose Dirk to bring The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy back to radio. Maggs has also had a longtime collaboration with Neil Gaiman, including the recently released production of Sandman. Audiophile's Josephine Reed spoke with Dirk Maggs about his work. This is an excerpt, but you can hear the full conversation in a bonus episode of our podcast, Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. Josephine Reed. I'm curious. When you go into the studio, for example, and let's talk about Sandman specifically, do you have a sense of how the narration should sound to you? Are you hearing it already in your head? Do you know what you want from each actor? I guess that's a long-winded way of saying, Dirk Maggs interrupts, do I prepare? Joe Reed, no, I'm sure you do prepare. But how much do you leave open for the actor? Dirk Maggs, that's a good question, Joe. The challenge of making Sandman was I knew exactly what I wanted to do with it, but I was also very aware that it's a much-loved, much-cherished piece of work. One of the biggest issues with The Sandman is it's been in existence for over 30 years now. People know what they want to hear from it, and I realized quite early on that if I was going to be clever and try to reinvent the wheel, I would be in an if-it-ain't-broke-don't-fix-it situation. But the thing about Sandman was, I don't think audio as a medium need feel inferior to any other medium because I believe that our medium works just like movies and TV do. The only difference is that simulation bypassed the optic nerve. It doesn't go in through the front door. It sneaks in through the side doors, and then it creates the image on your cerebral cortex. Between your ears is the single greatest imaging chip in the computer world, which is the human brain. Your brain will create visions from what you hear. Some people, there are conditions where people don't have this, But most people have this, which is really what we rely upon in the audio business to tell our stories. You visualize from what you hear. Joe Reed. Okay, so let's bring it back to Sandman, Dirk Maggs. So I was ready to go with an adaptation of Sandman, and I knew this wouldn't be so much an audio dramatization. It would be an audiobook, sort of writing on a dramatization, because we would need to find a way to stick very close to the original. I felt that that was the plow to furrow, because then Neil, as exec producer with me on this, we could then concentrate and make this as quintessentially Sandman as we could. Joe Reed. Well, that's easier said than done. How did you go about making this happen? Dirk Maggs. I immediately gave up any thought of updating it, making it present day, introducing cell phones or the internet or all of this. It had to stay set in late 80s, early 90s. It had to be something with Neil's authentic voice in it. And that was the real revelation, because I said to Neil, the only way I can think of doing this is to see your original scripts, the scripts you wrote for the artists and Todd Klein, who was doing the lettering and the inkers and the colorists. Those will have the descriptions of what you wanted to see. And if I blend those descriptions with what you actually see in the comics, we will end up with something which will be as quintessentially Sandman as you can get. Then, if somebody wants to pick the comic book up and look at it alongside, there will be a fair degree of correlation. So Neil dug out from these ancient hard drives, and I think the first one I got was episode 3. I think 1 and 2 have disappeared into the ether. I was looking at it, and as soon as I opened this thing, I'm with Neil. I'm standing at his shoulder while he's writing this in 1987. And he goes into what this episode's going to be about and the general feel of it. And then he starts describing the panels. Then something wonderful happens. This stuff I'm reading, these descriptions of what he's seeing in his mind's eye, it's poetry. It's like Dylan Thomas. Suddenly I can see exactly what this needs to be. This needs to be Neil. He'd already asked if he could narrate, and I said, well, of course, my dear. But when I saw this, I thought, oh, this is it. This is the mother lode. And that was one of the best parts of the job for me. Joe Reed. He's a wonderful narrator. He has just such a beautiful voice and intonation, and he can lead you into some dark places, as he does in the book, without being threatening. Dirk Maggs. Neil reading this stuff, and with the action playing underneath, with the wonderful cast we had, and with, you know, I've brought every inch of sound designing experience I've had over the last 40 years into the sound design. And then James Hannigan's music, which adds a whole new layer of magic to the thing. When it's all mixed together, you're transported, and you're in this guy's head. It was so wonderful. About 10 p.m. one night, 3 or 4 months ago, while I was doing post-production, I emailed Neil and I said, do you know how good you were when you wrote this stuff? I didn't expect an answer, but almost immediately came back Neil saying, yes, but I don't remember doing it. I'm not the person who wrote this. He's a different person to me. And I thought, what an interesting answer, because this young man, who's what? Neil wasn't yet 30 when he started Sandman. He was a library brat. He brought himself up just devouring books, and all of it is in the Sandman. It was magical to do it. Some jobs, you know, in the end it's a job of work, and some jobs are hard work. You think, gosh, I really could have picked a less onerous duty here. But this was a joy from start to finish. And that's our Behind the Mic with Dirk Maggs. Here's a review of Earphones winner The Sandman by Neil Gaiman, adapted by Dirk Maggs, read by a full cast. James McAvoy leads an all-star cast in narrating this magnificent audio adaptation of Neil Gaiman's iconic graphic novel series, The Sandman. McAvoy, who portrays Morpheus, the king of dreams, leans hard on his polished English accent, the embodiment of the Brit's determination to keep calm and carry on no matter what. As listeners are swept up in a saga in which cats talk and nightmares walk, McAvoy's steady characterization reminds them that it's all in a day's work for him. While the cast members are exquisite, special mention goes to the production staff. The sound effects are immersive, and there's a wonderful cinematic score. This audio drama is compelling. Listeners won't be able to pause once they hit play. Anthony Farina wrote that review of The Sandman by Neil Gaiman, adapted by Dirk Maggs. It's an Earphones winner, read by an all-star cast, available from Audible, Inc. for 11 hours as an audio program. This is just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's October-November issue. We are the magazine that want you to discover the world of audiobooks. Continuing now with reviews, this time in science fiction and fantasy, we have Harrow the Ninth by Tamsin Muir, an Earphones winner, read by Moira Quirk. Moira Quirk expertly narrates a complicated sci-fi puzzle. Harrow Hark Nonagesimus is in training to save the universe. However, her body and mind betray her at every turn, and no one, not even she, is as they seem. The plot is mind-bendingly complex, but Quirk adroitly steers Harrow through all its twists and turns, even when they defy logic or reason. As the story progresses and layers are slowly peeled back, Quirk's portrayal of Harrow is revealed to be both shockingly insightful and tragically poignant. The numerous secondary characters in at least two different timelines are all given distinct voices that are instantly recognizable whenever they appear. A magnificent powerhouse performance. That review by Kate Poley is of Harrow the Ninth by Tamsin Muir. It's an Earphones winner, read by Moira Quirk, and it's available from Recorded Books for 19.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Devil in America by Kay Ashante Wilson, an Earphones winner, read by Janina Edwards. Narrator Janina Edwards's compelling tone draws listeners into Wilson's searing narrative as a family reckons with a supernatural legacy. Chilling events and mythology are interspersed with descriptions of historical events and the editorial commentary of a father reading from his work in progress. As Easter and her family wield old magic against sinister forces, these elements illustrate how the evils of this story persevere into today's world. Immersive world building heightens the skilled characterizations of Easter's loving, courageous family and friends, the fervently whispering angels, and the slippery, unyielding devil. Edwards's pacing and precision with Wilson's imagery drive the narration forward. Captivating dialogue urges listeners through the mounting danger. A stark and enduring listen, well told and unforgettable. That review by Kate Boudries was of The Devil in America by Kay Ashante Wilson. It's an Earphones winner, read by Janina Edwards, available from Macmillan Audio for 1.5 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in sci-fi fantasy and horror, we have Mallory, Bird Box, Book 2 by Josh Malerman, read by Cassandra Campbell. Narrator Cassandra Campbell exquisitely evokes the existential dread that permeates Josh Malerman's well-wrought follow-up to his popular sci-fi suspense novel, Bird Box. America remains rife with creatures that drive viewers insane. Blindfolded and hooded, Mallory has kept her now teenage children safe for 16 frightening years. Then they learn that Mallory's parents may be alive, and so begins a journey of terror and hope. Campbell's vivid audio portraits of fierce Mallory, rebellious Tom, and conflicted Olympia heighten the drama and draw listeners into a story that takes place as much inside the protagonists' heads as in the action. Her distinctly drawn portraits of walk-on characters add verisimilitude, and her pacing, from considered to pell-mell, drives the addictive rhythm throughout the gripping story. Aurelia C. Scott wrote that review of Mallory, Bird Box, Book 2 by Josh Malerman. It's an Earphones winner, read by Cassandra Campbell, and it's available from Random House Audio for 8.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next in sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, we have The Empire of Gold, the Davabed Trilogy. It's by S.A. Chakraborty. It's an Earphones winner, read by Sonila Nankani. Sonila Nankani skillfully narrates the final volume of an epic fantasy saga, inspired equally by politics and mythology. As Nari, Ali, and Dara face the aftermath of the brutal fall of Davabed, they must each come to terms with their part in that fall. Nankani continues to impress with her distinctive portrayals of the immense secondary cast of characters, but it is her description of the three main protagonists that is truly noteworthy. Nari, Ali, and Daria grapple with an incredibly complex and arduous set of emotions relating to their roles in the brutal fall and subsequent conquest, and Nankani gives each their due with a range of emotions. A stellar performance concludes this outstanding series. Kate Poley wrote that review of The Empire of Gold, the Davabed Trilogy by S.A. Chakraborty, an Earphones winner, read by Sonila Nankani. It's available from Harper Audio for 28.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next in sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, we have Mexican Gothic. It's written by Silvia Moreno Garcia, and it's read by Frankie Corzo. Frankie Corzo's velvety voice puts listeners under her spell as she narrates this horror audiobook. Noemi Taboada is a clever 22-year-old anthropology student buzzing between parties in 1950s Mexico City. She is quite put out when her father sends her to the countryside to check on her recently married cousin Catalina, whose in-laws built their fortune with an ill-fated mine. Corzo conveys Noemi's initial alarm at the many restrictions and pervasive ethnocentrism of the English family ensconced in their isolated mansion, High Place. Later, her concern about Catalina and her own deteriorating mental state grows. Listeners share Noemi's developing terror as she unravels the many mysteries of High Place and its enigmatic inhabitants. A suspenseful, atmospheric narration makes this an audiobook listeners won't soon forget. Emily Connolly wrote that review of Mexican Gothic. It's written by Silvia Moreno Garcia, read by Frankie Corzo. It's available from Random House Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Devolution, a first-hand account of the Rainier Sasquatch Massacre. It's written by Max Brooks, and it's read by an ensemble. In this fictional yet eerily believable audiobook, Washington's Mount Rainier erupts, causing several displaced and hungry Sasquatches to descend on a remote echo village called Green Loop. An excellent full cast, including the author, notable film and television stars, and well-known radio personalities, deliver the story, which consists of found documents, transcripts, book excerpts, and interviews. Each narrator does a credible job and contributes positively to the overall narrative. Among the ensemble, Judy Greer is the clear standout. She narrates much of the story, portraying Kate Holland, whose found journal accounts for most of the massacre's documentation. Greer's performance captures the gamut of Kate's emotions, starting with her bubbly excitement upon first arriving in Green Loop and moving on to her unease, terror, and eventually steely resolve to survive at any cost. Andy Northrup wrote that review of Devolution, a first-hand account of the Rainier Sasquatch Massacre. It's written by Max Brooks, read by an ensemble cast, and it's available from Random House Audio for 9.75 hours of unabridged listening. Finally today, we have Trouble the Saints by Aaliyah Dawn Johnson, read by Shayna Small and Neil Shy. Narrators Shayna Small and Neil Shah transport listeners to 1940s New York in this dark fantasy set against a backdrop of racial tension and brewing war. In a world in which people of color are sometimes born with magical powers that manifest through their hands, three characters struggle to survive in the city's seedy underbelly. Small portrays Phyllis, a black woman whose hands make her a master assassin. Small's low, compelling voice perfectly captures all of Phyllis's doubts and passions. Shah is equally outstanding as her lover, Dev, an Indian man whose hands sense threats. His tone is lighter and often tinged with longing and humor. Both narrators also excel at a range of accents, making this audiobook a fully immersive experience. Laura Sackton wrote that review of Trouble the Saints by Aaliyah Dawn Johnson, read by Shayna Small and Neil Shah. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 13 hours unabridged. And that's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll have our regular feature Listening With. This time we'll meet floral designer Stacey Brenner. After that, we'll have reviews in poetry and the classics, and a review of Nicholas Nickleby by Charles Dickens. It's an Earphones winner, read by Nick Bolton. We'll also have reviews in romance. So until next time, thanks for listening.